Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our annual spring concert. We have prepared a program featuring people, places, and ideas. The composers, like you, the audience, represent many countries and cultures. Many notables have given their ideas about music. Here are two interesting quotes, both from poets. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "Music is the universal language of mankind." And the Frenchman Jean Cocteau said, "Look out, be on your guard, because alone of all the arts, music moves all around you." Now please welcome our conductor, Tom Narciso. We begin our program with a composition by the American composer, conductor, and educator, Joseph Curiale, who was born in 1955 in Bridgeport, Connecticut. After a brief time in Japan, he spent several years in Hollywood, enjoying success in film, television, and recording. Finding commercial work too restrictive, he began to concentrate on composition, which would be free of parameters dictated by others. From close association with Chinese friends in Singapore, he learned of the Chinese immigration to California, from the days of the gold rush to the early 1900s. He was especially moved by the hardships they endured and their courage in making a life in America. Translated from the Chinese, their name for California was Gold Mountain. The main point of entry was San Francisco, hence the title Gates of Gold, with a suite he composed in honor of the Chinese communities of North America. The Van plays the final movement of his suite. Its movement is entitled Call of the Mountain. We'll be right back. Throughout history, composers have been inspired by Mother Nature, that is, the elements of our physical world. Drawing inspiration from the spirit of natural wonders, in 1989, Timothy Brogy composed his Sinfonia 17, or The Four Winds. He describes the piece as follows. The four winds blow variously from north, south, east, and west, causing clouds to race across the sky, fires to blaze high in great force, melancholy to permeate the souls of dreamers, and promises of adventure to perfume the air with excitement. The band now presents The Four Winds.
Thank you.
book? Following the Civil War, the concert band was born, and not surprisingly, marches became popular, not only in America, but around the world. In the United States, John Philip Sousa is considered the March King. In Great Britain, this honor belongs to Kenneth J. Alford, which is the pen name of Major Frederick Ricketts. Born in 1881 and died in 1945, he was a fellow countryman and colleague of Gustav Holst and Ralph Vaughan Williams, two composers whose music we play from time to time. Although Alford wrote only 18 marches, they are all masterpieces. A selection from 1941 is dedicated to the memory of General Charles Gordon and his men who were besieged at Khartoum during the Sudanese revolt in 1885. The band now plays the stately Army of the Nile. And the composer of our next selection was English, but of Swedish descent. Born in 1874, died in 1934, Gustav Holst was very much at home in the world of military and brass bands, since at an early age, he gave up keyboard instruments for the trombone. He served as music director at several schools where he produced music for opera, ballet, orchestra, and brass band. In 1919, his most famous work, the seven-part suite, The Planets, was premiered, and his success was then assured. The band now plays his second suite for military band. Based on old English tunes, the four movements are titled March, Song Without Words, Song of the Blacksmith, and Fantasia on the Dargisland. Fittingly, the conductor for this piece, like the composer, is also a trombone player. So please welcome, conducting this selection, Dave Frederick.
Thank you.
We now hear music by that giant of the Romantic period of music, the French composer Camille Saint-Saëns, born in 1835, died in 1921. During 86 years of a fruitful life, he shared the musical spotlight with the likes of Wagner, Brahms, Richard Strauss, Liszt, Berlioz, Debussy, and Mahler. Few were able to match his output, which covered all types of compositions: opera, orchestral, chamber, solo instrumental, ballet, and vocal. His most successful stage work, the biblical opera Samson and Delilah, was premiered in Germany, but owing to the subject, it was prohibited on the French stage for 15 years. The music performed here, the ballet sequence from the third act, falling in the midst of pagan ceremonies at the Philistine temple, which Samson topples at the end of the opera. You old-time movie fans may recall the scene was a highlight of the entertaining 1949 movie, starring Victor Mature and Hedy Lamarr in the title roles. With Dave Frederick conducting again, the band now plays the Danse à Bacchanal.
Thank you.
First of all, thank you for your food donations to community services, and a double thank you for your cash donation to our old tuba to be by the front door. You know we are a nonprofit organization, which depends much on your cash support. The refreshment counter will be opened in the lobby, and I think we have an announcement from our president, Glenn Richburg. Glenn?
Hi, my name's Glenn Richburg. I am the current president of the Cupertino Symphonic Band. I don't want to take much time, just a couple of quick announcements, some thank yous, and actually one goodbye. Bertha Chang, one of our flute players, has been playing with us for 8 years, I think, and this will be her last Quinlan concert. So we want to thank her for playing with us, and good luck on her next adventures. Thank you, Bertha. And just a couple of more thank yous. A quick thank you to our assistant conductor. It's nice having Dave come in, fill in for Tom, the primary conductor, whenever he's out, just give him a break. And he also gives us a little bit different insight into the music. Thank you, Dave. Have a little fun. Principal conductor, Tom's the upfront guy, keeping us in line, keeping us in time, and we really do appreciate him doing that for us. His dedication every week to keep us on track. Thank you, Tom. And there is one more conductor that you'll see today, but I'll have to circle back around on him. I want to thank you again, like Jim said, the money you drop into Tubi and the coffee and the drinks and the cookies that you purchase, that money goes to keeping us afloat. It also helps us meet our organization's objectives, which are to provide musical performances to the community like this, number two, to support music education in the community, encourage support for community services like the donations that you're giving for food rather than admission prices. And then finally, to provide awards and encouragement to musically talented high school students. We have one of those talented high school students that plays with us. Now, this young man started his music, his talents bubbled up very early. Before he was even able to walk, he would scoot around the house and conduct all the musical decorations at Christmas time. By the time he was about 3 years old, he started composing music by using crayons of different colors to represent the different notes. He grew up and he begged his mom to play piano, teaching piano. So he taught piano. He's actually been reading musical notes longer than he's been reading words. After piano, he tried trumpet. He went to trombone and then finally found his true calling, that deep, rich bass sound of the tuba. Junior high band wasn't quite challenging enough, so his mom, Mary, who plays bassoon in our band, brought him to our band to play when he was about 12 years old. And the tuba was bigger than he was back then. He's grown into the tuba, and he's also grown musically, emotionally. He now plays for Wilcox High School, plays in a concert band, winter percussion, played in the Santa Clara County Honors Band, plays in the San Jose Metro Band, another community college, or a community band, Ohlone College Tuba Ensemble. He's going to graduate Wilcox High School in Santa Clara this year. He plans on attending Cal Poly. I'm sure he'll take some music classes, but he's going to get a degree in civil engineering. He plans on making real money when he gets out. And like I said, take a lot of classes and join other musical groups. The Cupertino Symphonic Band is very pleased and honored to give a $500 donation scholarship to Mr. Gregory Nathan Paulson. Nathan?
We'll take a 14-minute intermission. One of the masterpieces of world literature is the history of Don Quixote de la Mancha, and it's the most famous work of Miguel Cervantes of Spain, who lived from 1547 to 1616. It's the entertaining story about a man on a quest to be a knight errant in search of adventure, to rescue damsels in distress and redress all manners of wrongs. At his side are his lady Dulcinea and his loyal squire Sancho Panza, ever ready to protect his master from harm and embarrassment. The contemporary American composer Robert Smith, who has written much for concert band, titled his Third Symphony, Don Quixote. The third movement, Sancho and the Windmills, was inspired by the knight's many battles, which often end with his falling off the horse in spectacular fashion. The orchestration deserves a few comments. The first notes are by a solo bassoon, its playful and comedic effect setting the stage for the antics to come. Throughout the piece, the percussion section is busy creating a variety of moods. You should look and listen for these sounds: the rattle of cans with its clumsy knight's rusty armor, the sound of sandpaper in support of Sancho's burrow trying to keep up, a ratchet effect which infers raising of the knight back onto his horse, a rolling pin on gravel for the creaky mill machinery, and when our hero battles windmills that he mistakes for giants, the huge blades piercing the air are represented by, well, just pay close attention. The band now plays Sancho and the Windmills.
Thank you.
Ever since Mickey Mouse came out as the first animated cartoon with sound in 1928, Walt Disney Enterprise has produced a string of films for the American public. Soon after Mickey, we got the Silly Symphony series, with color added in 1932. Next, feature-length films such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio, Fantasia, and Bambi. A more recent cartoon feature, Pocahontas, is in a more serious tone than most similar productions. This 1995 movie depicts a brave and free-spirited American Indian princess. According to legend, she fell in love with Captain John Smith and saved him from death at the hands of her father's warriors. Sources in my encyclopedia, however, doubt that story. What they do say is that she was captured by the British, baptized Rebecca, married colonist John Rolfe with everyone's blessing, then went to England and was received with honor by the king and queen. The movie's musical score and feature song, Colors of the Wind, both won Oscars. The band now plays a medley from Pocahontas.
Thank you.
For Percy Grainger, the Australian-American composer who lived from 1882 to 1961, an interest in folk music led him to arrange hundreds of British folk tunes. His most famous is the national melody, Irish Tune from County Derry, well known by the shorter title London Derriere. The source of the original melody has been attributed to many musical roots, singers, fiddlers, pipers, harpists, and taken down by some obscure village musician. Such a story is typical of many folk songs around the world. Over 100 songs have been written to the tune, but in 1912, Fred Weatherly, an English lawyer and songwriter, wrote the words which created Danny Boy. Over the years, musicologists have analyzed the lyrics in an attempt to answer several questions. Who was Danny Boy? Where is Danny going? Who is singing to Danny? We don't have time to discuss this further, but there is considerable material on the internet. For now, let's simply enjoy Percy Grainger's adaptation of an Irish tune from County Derry. Please welcome our student conductor and one of our tuba players, Nathan Paulson.
Thank you.
Back in 1932, 10 Italian composers issued a musical manifesto which decried the lack of human content and romanticism in recent music. All but one of the signers have disappeared into musical oblivion. The exception which gave prestige to the document was Ottorino Respighi, who was born in 1879, died in 1936. At the time of this so-called manifesto, he had already composed significant music in support of it, such as The Birds, Ancient Airs and Dances, and Brazilian Impressions. While training under Rimsky-Korsakov, he was a dominant creative force in Italian music. He is best known for three colorful symphonic suites about the landscape and history of Rome: The Fountains of Rome, Roman Festivals, and The Pines of Rome. From the latter, which describes the pines in four areas of the city, we bring you the final section with the sounds of the marching feet of the Roman legions, all marching to the glory of Rome. The band now plays the finale, The Pines of the Appian Way.
Someone stuck the score together with double stick tapes. Thank you.
Before our final selection, we call attention to our future schedule on the back of the program. We will be appearing first next Thursday evening to kick off a summer concert in the Park City series for the city of Cupertino, right next door, Memorial Park, 6:30 Thursday evening. Again, thank you for your support and attendance. Hope you enjoyed our program. We will close with our traditional sign-off, America's March, Stars and Stripes Forever.